Good evening.
Can you hear me? All right. I'm going to start us off by telling us a story. So the year is 1944, and the war in the Pacific is in full swing. And a Japanese officer has just ordered for the American POWs in his command to be killed. And he executed them in a particularly gruesome way. They ordered the prisoners down into a bunker that was used for air raids, and he had his men dump gas on them, and they were burned alive. And on that day, 139 Americans were killed by those Japanese. And on that day, as soon as that news got out, a massive effort started by the Allies and by America to get all of the thousands of prisoners held in the Philippines especially out. So there was this prison camp named, I think it's Cabanatuan. It's really hard to pronounce. We're going to go with Cabanatuan. And it held about 130 to 300 prisoners most of the time. And the Americans decided that they were going to go in there and they were going to get these guys. They didn't know, the prisoners inside, they didn't know when this would happen to them. The word had spread. It had spread to the prisoners in all of these camps, and it had spread to the U.S. military, and they knew that at any point, as the American forces got closer and closer to that camp, that they would be killed, and they'd be killed in this gruesome way. So these prisoners, they're distraught every day. They are, they're beside themselves. They're worried about dying, and they're worried about being killed in this brutal way. And the American forces, they, about 130 Army Rangers were tasked with going in to get these guys, along with the Filipino guerrillas. The prisoners inside the prison, they had no idea that a plan had even been put in motion to save them, and they were terrified that every day was going to be their last. So a group of elite soldiers were sent in to do reconnaissance. And they made it to a shed that was a couple hundred yards from the prison. And from there, they radioed back. They radioed back the position of the enemy soldiers. They radioed back the schedule of the prison. They radioed back telephone lines and where they were at. And a plan started to be created. And over a few days, they, with the information that they sent back, the American military, the leaders, they created this plan to go in and get these guys. And on January 30th, 1945, under the cover of darkness, these American Rangers, they snuck in. They had to crawl through hundreds of meters of grass that had been completely mowed while these Japanese soldiers are up on the walls looking down at them. And they used a plane flying overhead. They distracted them. They went in. They cut the telephone lines. And they rescued everyone. There was minimal casualties on the American side. They had a plan, and it went perfectly, and they were able to save these guys. Can you go to the next slide? So these are the POWs that were saved at Cabanatuan. There was, I think, about 130 that were saved, and it was a great success. This is one of the biggest successes from the whole war, and it's an example of a plan that was made, and it was followed perfectly. I think it's a really cool story. I really like to learn about this story. I think it's really cool, like I said. But every time I think about it, it reminds me of my own salvation. It reminds me that I also need to be saved. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned, and we are also heading towards death, but a spiritual one. We're like the prisoners, and that we're doomed to die with no hope of rescuing ourselves. Your sins separate you from God, and they mean that you will have to face an eternity away from Him. However, just like those prisoners, there is a plan set in place to save us. It's a plan that if you follow, it will result in you being saved from death and from sin. And that's what we'll be looking at this evening, the plan of salvation and how to follow it. The first step in the plan of salvation is to hear the gospel message. You can't follow a plan that no one ever tells you about. In Mark 16:15, Jesus says this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Jesus tells his disciples to tell everyone everywhere the gospel plan and how they can be saved. The apostles were told to go out, and they're told to tell the whole world the good news. They did this directly by preaching and teaching themselves, and they did it indirectly by teaching other men that could go out and also teach. If you haven't followed the plan of salvation, then hearing is what you're doing right now. You're being told God's plan for how you can be saved. But if you have been saved, then spreading the message so that others can hear is your responsibility. This is something that every Christian should do today. That applies whether you're working, whether you're in school, or whether you're retired. Telling other people about Jesus and about God, about the plan of salvation, could be the difference in someone's eternity. A lot of times, Christians think that they don't know enough, or that evangelism is too scary, or that it's someone else's job to spread the gospel. But the truth is, every Christian is called to spread the word. In Acts 1, chapter 8, Jesus again instructs his followers to become witnesses to the world. So if you have been saved already, what's stopping you from spreading the word to others? Jesus, he doesn't ask for you to know all the answers off the top of your head. He doesn't ask you not to be scared. He just asks that you do it. He just asks that you evangelize and do the best job that you can. That can be at work. That can be on social media. That can be when you're with your friends and family. There's no wrong way to evangelize as long as you're spreading the truth. So give others the opportunity to hear and then let God work in their lives. If you have something truly great, then you should want to share it. No one has any problem sharing about a wedding or about their kids or about a new promotion they got. Not telling others about your faith, I think it indicates a heart problem more than it does a fear problem. So get out of your comfort zone and tell others so that they can hear and maybe one day come to believe. After hearing, the next step is to do just that, to believe. It only makes logical sense that you must believe what you're hearing to be able to look further into the plan of salvation. It doesn't do any good to just hear the message. It has to be seen as truth as well. We live in an age where information is thrown at us like never before. Between social media and the news you watch, there's more information than we know what to do with. We have to filter through what is and isn't true, but to follow the gospel plan of salvation, it's essential that one believes. You must believe that you are sinful, you must believe that Jesus died to cover that sin, and you must believe that you need to follow his plan so that you can be saved from the death that sin brings. In Hebrews 11, the hall of faith is being discussed, or the heroes of the Old Testament. In verse 6, the Hebrew author discusses the relationship that faith or belief has in the salvation plan. Verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists, and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him." The one who comes to God must believe that he exists. Belief doesn't mean that you have all the answers. It doesn't mean that you know everything that there is to know about God, but it means that you trust him to give you those answers when you need them. To follow the salvation plan, you have to believe. You have to have faith in something that you can't see or touch. Believing means that you trust God and you have a faith in him to rescue you from the consequences of your own sin. But that's only one step of the plan. The fact that you have to believe, it's not a secret, and everyone knows that you can't follow Jesus if you don't believe in him. But some people seem to believe that belief is where the plan of salvation stops. Belief is a step where a lot of people and a lot of denominations get it wrong. Belief or faith is a step, but it's not the step. It's not the point at which you're saved. For the prisoners in Cabanatuan, believing that they were saved or that they could be saved didn't actually protect them from the Japanese. Some Christians believe that they don't have to do anything or change anything, but that they just have to have faith and they just have to believe that Jesus will save them. But as we'll see in the following steps, belief is just a part of the plan, but belief won't save you. Belief without action means nothing. That leads us into an action, which is the next part of the plan of salvation, which is to repent. Repentance has been a word that would cause some to cringe. It's been used in the past to put others down or to make people feel like they can never be good enough. The truth is that the word repent simply means to change one's mind. It means to pick a different direction or a different path than the one you're on and to follow and stick to that path. That doesn't mean that everyone doesn't need to change or that everyone hasn't sinned, but this word doesn't have to be used the way that it has in the past. Some people, when they see this word, they think of the street preacher on the corner screaming, "Repent or you'll go to hell." And they're right. But the truth is that it can be shared in a way that's easier to understand and to follow. Repenting, it just means turning away from the things that your flesh wants. It means turning away from what the world tells you that you want or what you tell yourself that you want. And it means doing what God wants instead. Some people have given this word a bad rap by using it in a hateful way to tell others that they're not good enough for heaven. In reality, no one is good enough for heaven. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and that no one is worthy of entering the presence of God. No matter how good you do, no matter how much you put in the plate or give to charity, no matter how many volunteer hours you have, you'll never be good enough for heaven alone. Repentance is acknowledging that you have sinned and that you haven't lived right and shifting your mindset and lifestyle to be more in tune with God's will. In Luke 13:2-3, Jesus says this, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans just because they have suffered this fate? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you all will likewise perish." Simply believing isn't enough. You don't get to believe in Jesus and that he died for you and then go live however you want. Repentance isn't just about being sorry either. It's about being changed. It's changing the way your whole mind operates. It's transforming your mind and transforming your life and your thoughts from thinking about yourself to thinking about God and what his will is. Acts 17:30-31 says, "So having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now proclaiming to mankind that all people everywhere are to repent. Because he has set a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all people by raising him from the dead." The judgment day is coming, and God has said that everyone must repent. Everyone must change their ways and change their mind and focus on God and not their own desires. For the brave men that went into Cabanatuan, they saw a problem and they chose to fix it. They saw the way that their brothers in arms were being treated and the fate that they would have to face, and they decided to do something about it. The men that chose to go into the prison camp, they could have decided to stay home. They could have chose their own safety or what they wanted to do or what they thought was right. They went against what was the most comfortable so that others could be saved. It's easy to get stuck in your own ways. It's easy to fall into a rut and to rationalize to yourself what you've been doing. But the right thing, the hard thing, is to make the determination to change your life. The prisoners of war in that prison camp wouldn't have been saved if not for the efforts of their brothers. And you won't be saved unless you make the decision to change your mind, your path, and repent towards Jesus and away from your desires. Having heard, believed, and repented, the next step towards salvation is to confess. Confessing just means to make something known or to stop hiding it. What confession isn't is going into a little box and whispering to a priest the things that you've done wrong. Your confession is that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and that you believe he died on the cross to bring salvation to the world and to yourself. You can't hide your salvation from the world, and you can't hide Jesus. You can't praise him in private and mock him or ignore him in public. Matthew 10:32-33 says, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before people, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before people, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." If you can't confess to others that Jesus is the Lord of your life, how can you expect him to advocate for you? If you believe that Jesus came down from heaven and died on the cross for your sins, even though you didn't deserve it, then it shouldn't be hard to recognize who he is and recognize what he's done publicly. Romans 10, 8 through 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your own heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. As a Christian, confessing your faith and publicly showing your relationship with God could put you in hot water. It could be hard to wear Jesus' name knowing the things that you've done and the way you used to live. However, God is a God of forgiveness. And if you've repented, then confessing your faith is a part of the process by which you will be saved. Proclaim your faith proudly. Represent Jesus, and so that he will do the same on Judgment Day. Confession means making Jesus a core part of your identity. It means placing him at the very core of who you are. It means taking the crown off your own head and making him the king of your life instead. Finally, a person must be baptized to be saved. Baptism isn't the only requirement of salvation, but it does indicate the point at which a person is actually saved. Once you come up out of the water, all of your sins are washed away and you are made clean. Baptism is an essential part of salvation, and without following it, the rest of the plan falls flat and it means nothing. 1 Peter 3:21 says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is the mechanism by which we can access the forgiveness of sin made possible by Jesus on the cross. Jesus stood in the gap, and he took the punishment for all sin that ever had or ever would be committed, even though he had never sinned himself. The perfect sacrifice was made, and baptism is the way that we can access God's grace and be spared the punishment we're owed. Romans 6 says that baptism raises us with Christ to walk in newness of life. Baptism signals the start of your new life with Christ and that you have been saved by him. Circling back to the story that I shared earlier, for those prisoners at Cabana Tuan all those years ago, hope was running out. They'd been sentenced to death, and the day of that death was drawing ever nearer. They were helpless on their own. They were unable to escape the death that they were sentenced to. But then a plan was made to rescue them. The plan involved sacrificing from those that did the rescuing. But when it was followed, it resulted in the prisoners being saved from the death that they were facing. If you haven't followed the plan of salvation this evening, then you too are facing certain death. The wages of sin are death. And you must be made right with God if you want to avoid eternal punishment. Just like the prisoners that didn't know how much time they had left, you don't know when you'll die either. It could be in 50 years. It could be today. Why wait to get right with God? The truth is, Judgment Day is coming, and you want to know that you have followed God's plan of salvation before it's too late. Today can be the day that you choose to follow God's plan for your life and ensure that you spend eternity in heaven. On the other hand, maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you followed the plan of salvation, but you're not fully sure of your salvation. There's no shame in being unsure, whether you were baptized for the wrong reason, baptized too young, or whatever reason it is that's weighing on your mind. There's no shame in being unsure. Don't let the pride or fear keep you from making things right. The men at Cabana Tuan, they didn't argue about their situation. They were grateful when rescue arrived. If your soul is in doubt tonight, don't gamble with eternity. Take comfort in knowing that God is not waiting to punish you. He's waiting to welcome you home. Wherever you are tonight, this is the truth. You're either in the prison or you're free. There's no in between. Either you've accepted the plan or you haven't. Either you're following the rescuer, or you're still sitting behind the walls of sin, waiting for something to change. The rescue mission is real. The blood was shed, the enemy was defeated, and the door is open. So what are you waiting for? If you've never followed the plan of salvation, don't wait any longer. Your rescuer is here. If you need to be baptized, if you want to talk about your doubts, or if you've wandered away and want to come back, we're here for you. Whatever your need is tonight, don't stay in the prison. Come home to freedom. Come now as we stand and as we sing.